Okay. All right. So, good morning. As we celebrate Easter 2017, we're joining with Christians all over the world. Easter is a celebration of life, and in that part, we joyously participate. We may not glorify a horrible death, but we're all about the resurrection and the emergence of new life. So in our teaching, Jesus was the great example, not the great exception. As the human part in us and all people gives way to the divine part in us and all people, we become the Christ. That's what we mean when we refer to the Christ consciousness, when the human part of us gives way to the divine part, and that divine part merges and expresses in our lives in a fuller way. So in the midst of what may seem like our worst, the worst time in our life, our worst degradation, when we look and feel old and sick, when we fear poverty, when we cry out at failure, Emma Curtis Hopkins, who was one of our early New Thought teachers, tells us, if you would cease to give way to these things for one instant, you would see that the meaning of it all is for us to know that we are transcendent beings having a transcendent experience. So Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science, said, God has given us a power, and we must use it. God is the silent power behind all things, always ready to pour into our experience that which we need. We should unify with it, declare our word to be the presence and power and activity of this one, and speak the word with belief in its power. So we bring to this Easter observance a metaphysical understanding and interpretation that allows us to find spiritual meaning and embrace principles that are above the literal story that is usually told at Easter, and find for ourselves some personal meaning, some personal transformation in this story. So the mystical tradition of the Science of Christ holds that anyone walking the path of awakening toward full realization of our oneness with God and our divine identity will at some point and in some way personally live out the various stages explained about Jesus's life. So the story of Jesus's life is the story of the emerging Christ that's within each of us. And each step along the way represents a natural and inevitable step in this journey towards the realization of the divine truth of who we really are. So we can start at the beginning. Indeed, we've all had the divine birth. The very fact that we're here shows that we're spirit in form. We're the unique expression of spirit in form. That is a divine birth that we have all experienced. That was the beginning of our journey in this lifetime. And I venture to say we've all had a Herod figure in our lives. You remember in the biblical story, Herod was the figure who sent out troops to kill all the babies under 2 years old, trying to destroy the Christ child. So each of us have had experiences in our lives where someone sought to destroy our uniqueness, who didn't represent our divinity, didn't recognize our divinity. In response to that, we either fled away or we fled within, both for protection. In my own life, and I'm sure we each have our own stories, I left home at 17 because I needed to express my fullness in my life. And I didn't come back to live near family of origin until for 33 years. And so when I finally did come back, I had a lot of work to do, you might imagine, to make my own way, make my own place, get my own voice, be who I was, because I picked up a whole lot of strange ideas along the way in terms of religious ideas, educational ideas, medicine, all kinds of different things. So I had to learn how to merge into a life here with my family of origin when my thought system, my thought process was quite different from theirs and from how I'd grown up. So we've all had years of wandering in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness when our purpose was very dimly understood, if at all. We felt like we were just wandering around trying to figure it out. And then there are those moments of baptism, those moments when we feel the call of something greater within us, and we dedicate ourselves to living that truth at all cost. We're dedicated to that. That would be our baptism. And then we've all had the moments, too, when we were tempted to give up on our goals and our dreams, to just settle into the inertia of our past, the expectations of our families, the voices of doubt within us and all around us. Haven't we all been tempted at times to just give up? It just seems like too much effort to try to persevere. And then we've recommitted to this life that we're to live and the mission for which we were born. And then there have been those times of deep questioning and doubt when we wonder, do I really have to go through this? Do I really have to do what is in front of me to do? We want to get out of our assignments. We want to make it a little bit easier. We don't want to do what it takes to move forward. Jesus had this experience in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, remove this cup from me if it be thy will. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So we have to surrender to something bigger than we are in order to let that fullness of who we are express. And then there are the betrayals. We've had those, right? The literal ones when someone that we thought we could trust didn't turn out to be there for us. Or the internal ones when we've betrayed ourselves by looking outside of us for comfort, looking outside of us for the answers when they were within us all the time. And then there are the crucifixions that we've all faced, the times when our lives seem to become unhinged, dismantled, just falling apart, collapsing underneath us. Our limitations at those times seem to kill us. They seem to kill us. And then by grace, by some power of renewal, we've somehow been lifted up above that, and our lives have been reborn at a new level. So you see, we've all lived that science of the Christ. We've all lived that cycle. And we're at some places still in that in process. Sometimes we start back over in different areas. And that's just because Jesus is our example of how to live in a state of overcoming. So Easter is the story of that spirit that lives deep within us, within our individual lives and within the very cells of our body. The very cells of our body are resurrected. If you cut yourself, it immediately starts to heal. That wholeness within us springs forth, always bringing forth greater life. That power lives within the tissues of our body. It lives within our very being. And it's what moves all things in our life. It's the power of spirit that lifts us up over and over again, above the challenges, above the sorrows, above the limitations of the world. It's a story of overcoming and renewal. So as we honor that power within us, we're honoring that resurrecting power of the Christ, that resurrecting power of spirit. And Easter can serve in our lives as an annual reminder. It's a reminder that at the darkest moments, in our deepest trials, and even in those less dramatic moments when we are struggling against fear, doubt, depression, financial uncertainty, there is a light. It's the truth of Spirit's presence that's at the center of our being and that burns with power all the time, all the time. So it's to this power that we can turn. We can find it within and call it to work through us, speaking it into action, to will and to do what is to be done by us. It's always there. When we know it's there, when we know that power is within us and that we can call it forth, then we have that dependable presence that is always with us through every set of circumstances that may be showing up. We access this power and invoke renewal when we realize that there's something more to our daily experience than just being human. There is a God side to us that we can always bring forth to overcome any apparent challenge or limitation. And there are many examples of when we do this. For example, a job loss. Now, we might see a job loss, whether it's your job ended or you were released from the job or you moved away from your job, whatever it is. We can see that as a bad thing that happened, or we can see it as a way to be released from something that wasn't for our highest good. And if we can keep our mind on that and look around, instead of feeling like we're wandering hopelessly, if we can look around and say, I can hardly wait to see what good is in store for me now. I can hardly wait to see what wonderful thing is going to unfold. Then we've had a renewal of spirit. We've lifted ourselves up. We've overcome the feeling of despair or despondency. Another example would be illness. We've all experienced illnesses in our lives. Well, we can look at any experience of illness as a call to face any belief in separation, from our health, because that is just a denial of life itself. So as we look at illness as an opportunity to overcome false ideas about our oneness with spirit, we not only regain health, but we regain our faith and our commitment, and we feel that sense of oneness within us. The spirit within us is never sick. It's never sick, and that's who we are, and that's what we're expressing. So illness can be a time to remind us of that and help us to go deeper into that consciousness of oneness. What about financial imbalance? Well, we can see our lives as not just merely an experience of not having enough and never having enough, which it would be easy to fall into that mindset. But instead, Spirit is calling us to look at that belief that we have in lack. What is that belief? Is that true? Or is that just something we've been running over and over and continuing to recreate in our lives? How can we look at that differently? Well, the truth is that we're whole, we're free, and we're heir to good. And as we focus on that, as we let that be the truth of what we are, we feel that oneness back again, and our financial imbalances have an opportunity to heal and align. What about the triumph over the loss of a loved one? Many of us have experienced grief at some time in our lives over the loss of a loved one. I spoke with Edith Fijer this week. Some of you know Edith. And a couple of weeks ago, she lost her husband of 51 years in an automobile accident. And so this past week, I finally was able to connect with her by phone, and we had a nice chat. And I was so impressed with her faith of spirit and how she always turned her words back to what she appreciated. She said, you know, we had almost 51 years together. She said, we did so much together. I'm so grateful. And then she said, he would not have wanted to have an illness and drag out his transition. He would have wanted it just like this. He went very quickly. He died on the spot in the accident. So she was able to demonstrate, this was my Easter demonstration. She was able to demonstrate to me the overcoming power of spirit that resides within her and that is strong and vibrant at this time as she's overcoming this sense of loss. She said, sure, I'm going to miss him, but any tears that I cried would be for my own situation because for him, he is fine. She said, I know he's fine. So the opportunity that we each have today is to apply the power of spirit, not holding it apart from us, not thinking that spirit's out there and we're over here, but seeing ourselves as one with spirit, one in spirit, one in that sense of oneness, that sense of health and wholeness and abundance in every way. We can also invite renewal into our families, bringing the activity of love to all of our family, regardless of what may have happened in the past or what is going on now. Regardless of whether the people that we're bringing renewal into the relationship with are still living or if they've already passed on, we can still work with that relationship at that level. And we can bring renewal to other relationships in our lives, particularly those troublesome ones. You know the ones I mean. The ones that it's a little harder to see God's presence in. We can work on bringing that renewal in, restoring our perception of the truth of oneness in every relationship. We can bring and practice renewal in our bodies, honoring these bodies that house the Spirit, honoring them and allowing them to be the temples of the living Spirit. We can renew our understanding of events and situations in our experience and in the world, seeing that Spirit is always at work, working out a good situation in situations that we may not think are looking so good. We can hold to that fact that Spirit is always working through every situation, always working to bring forth greater good. So I invite us, challenge us to renew our work in the world today, to give of ourselves authentically and fully, to renew our dreams, to rekindle and lift them to the highest thoughts of God. So what would it take to do this? Well, to start with, we'd need to turn to that highest truth of our being and remember and celebrate that we are the beloved of the Spirit. We are the beloved of God. We are whole, perfect, complete. Nothing within us is broken. Nothing is missing. And we need to think thoughts that are filled with faith. Emma Curtis Hopkins, one of our early founders, said, "There is good for me and I shall have it." There is good for me and I shall have it. Let's say that together.
There is good for me and I shall have it.
That's a very positive affirmation of claiming our good. So to do this, we'll respond to people and situations from our inner wholeness. We'll use new words, new reactions to help generate an experience of newness. We can walk by this faith, bringing the best that we are and have to give to every encounter in our lives. Most of all, it's knowing that our material sense of life is giving way to the spiritual sense. The material, the outer, is giving way to the spiritual sense of who we are. That nothing outside us has any power over us. That we have a transforming power of spirit within us, and that is the spirit of love. And we can allow that forth in our experience in a bigger way. And the dance of life, the play of life upon itself, and the emergence of new life goes on and on forever. It's a wonderful time right now to celebrate spring and renewal and resurrection. We can look out and see the beautiful flowers and just life brimming all over. It's beautiful. So to live with a spiritual sense of life is to keep faith with life and with all that that word means, even in the moments that feel like endings, even in the moments when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's knowing that renewal and rising above limitations are as close as our next thought. You ever thought about that? The next thing, the next idea of renewal is as close as your next thought. You can choose that next thought to be a thought of life and renewal. So we are lifted to the truth that life is, that spirit is, that love is, moving in and through all things, especially through us. So Easter invites us. It's a wonderful time to look at our personal lives and to sense how much the spiritual aspect has taken over, how much we now see the spiritual aspects in every part of our lives, and consider where in our lives that we're now seeing spirit moving in us, through us, and as us. Where do we have faith and where do we know joy? And it's also a good time to consider the parts of our lives that lie outside of that activity. Where do we still have work to do? Where do we need to see that change and healing are possible? Where do we need to see that people can be reachable? Where do we need to see forgiveness that is ever awaiting us to produce the changes that we'd like to in our relationships? Where are we saying to ourselves, it's always going to be like this? Where are we doing those things? So it's a time of reflection. We can reflect on our successes, and we can reflect on the work that we need to do. So it's a wonderful day to celebrate the resurrected parts of our lives, the work that we've already done, and to see the Spirit and sense the presence of love and the power of good in action. It's an opportunity to tell the truth, at least to ourselves, about where we are and where the work needs to be done. So the call is to roll away the stone. The call is to roll away the stone and let Spirit flow in and out. And we can begin this with an affirmation that we have that is, I praise my life, I raise my life in the name of love. And this is an active one. Here's what you do. I praise my life, I raise my life in the name of love. Okay, let's do that three times. I praise my life, I raise my life in the name of love. I praise my life, I raise my life in the name of love. I praise my life, I raise my life in the name of love. Good. That's an active meditation, an affirmation. So today, let's let ourselves be transformed. Let's be willing to be new, to love the new, to be open to the power of Spirit and the possibilities of renewal and rebirth that are the truth of our very being. This is the truth of our life in and as God, and this is the science of the Christ. Thank you. Thank you. Let's go within and have a closing prayer, shall we? Anchor these thoughts and ideas within us. I am grateful that we have so much to celebrate, beginning with that power within, that power that is always present within and all around us, and that we can turn our awareness to. We can call it forth in every seeming challenge, and it will lift us above any sense of limitation, any sense of challenge, any sense of defeat. We can rise high. We can rise above. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Divine Spirit. We are truly blessed in this realization. We are blessed to be able to see all of our good, to praise our good, to be honest with ourselves, to praise ourselves for all the ways in which we're growing spiritually, and see the possibilities and the potentials for that continued growth, knowing that it brings continued joy and well-being in every aspect of our life and in our world. We are blessed, and so it is.
And so it is.
Amen.